Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't got nothing but three things to say about that.
You've just tuned into the Love in the Skin You're In Blog Talk Radio Show, and I'm your host, Andrea Amador. I'm the author of the book, Love in the Skin You're In, and I'm a curvy and confident body image expert and empowerment coach who walks the talk of body acceptance and personal power. Today's show, we're going to be talking about whining. Whining is the thing that you can't do if you're going to step into your personal power. The expert today, her name is January Jones, and boy, does she know how to stop whining. She has had a lot of difficulties in her life that she has managed to overcome and deal with, and she is a thriving, amazing person. So I'm very, very excited. Let me tell you a little bit about January. January Jones is the author of the book, Thou Shalt Not Whine, The 11th Commandment, published by Beaufort Books. Her book is based on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about, and it reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones has written three books on the Kennedy assassination, with her most recent book entitled Jackie, Ari, and Jack, The Tragic Love Triangle. She hosts January Jones Sharing Success Stories on the entertainmentnetwork.com with interviews on WC4Y.com every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 9 p.m. with replays on W4WN on Sunday and Thursday at 9 p.m. Ms. Jones is a featured host at blogtalkradio.com with over 1.3 million listeners. How amazing is that? She is my rock star and my role model. Her shows run every day from Sunday through Saturday at 10 a.m. January is a speaker, a radio personality, a cruise ship speaker, a reality TV golfer, and a humorist in the tradition of Irma Bombeck. She kills. She is so funny. She's done over 500 radio and TV interviews promoting her theories on life with humor and hope. And I would love to share with you this amazing woman. First of all, I'd like to tell you that she is my personal role model, and she's the inspiration for me deciding to do this Blog Talk Radio show, because I had been on her show several times, and I just knew that she was such a powerhouse, and she was sharing from her heart, and she was giving of herself and teaching and sharing what she's meant to with her listeners. And that made me believe that I could do it too. And I'm so incredibly proud to share with you that this is going to be a featured show under Staff Picks on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, January. I am so, so excited to have you here. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, hello, dear Andrea. I'm thrilled to be with you, and I'm thrilled to share our little success story together. I'm very, very proud of what you have done. You know, it's not easy to do this sort of thing, especially when you get a little older in age. But I've done it, you've done it, and guess what? Anyone out there listening can do it too.
Yes, that's the most important thing, is that teaching people that they can do it, that once somebody else has done it, they can do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, my mantra on my show, I always end my show with this mantra, and it's, if you think it, then you can do it. And guess what? As you and I both know, that is so very, very true.
I love it. I'm so excited. I can't wait for you to tell our readers why they have just entered the no whining zone. But I want them to call in. I'm very excited. to have them call in. It's 760-888-5736. And I encourage your questions, and January is here for you. And it's all on you. Why have they just entered the no whining zone?
Well, you know, I wrote my book. Oh, my gosh, it's been a while since I wrote my first book when I was 50 years old. So there's no excuses for all those people out there sitting and thinking they can never write a book. You're never too old to start writing. You just have to sit down and do it. My book, Thou Shalt Not Whine, was based on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about. When my publisher approached me about this book, we talked about the top 10 things, and I then proceeded to do a survey. This book took over 2 years to write. Once we did the survey and found out what people were whining about, we dealt with the complaints, the causes, and then we dealt with over 100-plus cures. We found out that this was bigger than we thought, and the book kind of took on a life of its own. It developed that people whine at different ages and different stages of life. So you have whines from children, teenagers, parents. We basically, this book went from cradle to grave as far as what people whine about. It was just the most fascinating book that I've ever done.
Now, I know a little bit about your life story, and you definitely had cause to just sit around and whine because a lot of tough things happened to you. So I'd like you to share that with your listeners, the kind of difficulties that you've overcome in your personal life with the, well, take it away.
Well, this isn't so easy to talk about, but I do share it in my book, and I was I actually was raised in a dysfunctional home life, which we all were. I mean, everyone was then. No one had a normal life. However, I did become a flight attendant, and I flew for Eastern Airlines, and then I was so blessed to meet the most wonderful man in the world. He was a Navy test pilot, and we married. And we then had two children. Of course, he had to fly for the Navy and go to Vietnam. And so we went through all of that Vietnam War thing. Then when he came back, he was a test pilot, and he was killed testing an airplane, a helicopter that was being prepared for the Army to go back to Vietnam. So there I was. I was 25 years old. My second baby was 6 weeks old. My oldest was 3 years old, and I was a widow. So, I know about whining. I kind of went through a long period there where I had to get my act together and get up every day and put one foot in front of the other and raise my two children. It's not easy, and I know a lot of people listening out there have gone through things that are even more and more difficult. However, I did get through it. I met a wonderful, wonderful man who I now have been married to for going on 43 years, and he adopted my children, and then we had a child of our own, and he had a child from his first marriage. So we became the classic his, hers, and ours family, and I've been very blessed to have the life I've led.
I'm so happy for you. What advice or guidance do you have for somebody who is in that position where it feels like their life is just so completely devastated and they don't know what to do, and they're in that place where they're whining and they're hurting, just like a thorn in their side?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a difficult place to be, and so many people have been there. You know, the biggest advice I can give out to everyone is I write about it in my book, and I call it the pity party. I was very lucky to have the dearest, dearest friend in the world. Actually, her husband and she had been in the Navy helicopter squadron. And I knew them, and we actually ended up living next door to each other when my husband was killed. she was there for me. We had a 2-year-long pity party. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's okay to whine. It's okay to whine when you have things like divorce, death, illness, really the big, big issues in life. It's okay to whine, but you have to remember, you have to find that one special person that you can whine with and share it with. You don't want to spread this all over the whole town. You want to just do it in private with one person. I had my best friend, Jane, and she was there for me. She helped me get through my very difficult time. And then later on in life, I was able to help her get through some very difficult times too.
Wow. How did you make the transition from going through that difficult time to the place where you decided, okay, that's it, I'm going to write a book?
Wow.
Wow, yeah.
Well, that happened probably about 25 years later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that book didn't pop out of me. It was very interesting, Andrea, when I was probably in my late 30s, early 40s, I went to a ladies group, a National Charity League group, and we were all together. And there was a psychic, his name I'll never forget was Dr. Donaldson. And so we all sat around, and he kind of was giving us his read on what we had to look forward in our future. And when it came to be my turn, he said, oh, well, you're going to write a book. And I looked at him like he was totally crazy because, you know, I hadn't really even graduated from college. I had no courses in journalism. I knew nothing about writing. So I asked him, I said, well, book, what am I going to write about? Because if you tell me, he said, oh, you'll know when it's time to come. And I said, well, if you tell me right now, I could start tomorrow and get this book knocked out.
Wow. Jane's got
and
some powerful
said,
fuel.
Yeah,
some
and he said,
gas.
Oh, no, you have to wait till you're 50 before you write your first book.
Oh, my goodness.
And wow. I was there in my early 40s raring to go write a book. And he said, and when the time comes, you will know what it's about. So I kind of filed that one away and thought, oh, that's insane, ridiculous. However, whether he planted the subliminal seed, how this all works, I have no idea. I did write my first book when I was 50, and it was called Oh No, Jackie O. And I wrote that under my pen name, which is January Jones, which is my professional name. The book came out, and next thing I knew, it was on the front cover of the National Enquirer. So
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so I thought, wow, I really made it. So it was very, very exciting, and I then started getting into writing, publishing, promotion, marketing, you know, all the things that go with book writing. I found it very exciting, invigorating, and it's something that I just love doing.
What led you to the decision to become a talk show host?
Well, that's a really great question. How do you make the transition? Well, you know, I had signed up and I took many courses and classes. And this is what I recommend to anyone who's trying to find their passion, find the career that they wish to pursue. Sign up for everything you can. Do everything you can. Expose yourself to everyone. And guess what? Things will start happening. I was very lucky to become involved with Steve and Bill Harrison, and they have a group called Radio TV Interview Report, and I signed up to do their program. I did their one-year Quantum Leap program, which we worked with about 60 people for 1 year together. It was a fantastic experience. I started networking, started thinking about different opportunities. one day we were all sitting in the class, and Steve Harrison hypothetically asked, what do you really want? What do you really like doing? And I had to sit there and think about it, and it came to me that I would really like to have a little radio show and talk to interesting, fabulous people every day and do it in my home in my pajamas.
I love it. I love it. So did you decide right off, I'm sorry, did you decide right off the bat that you were going to do the show every day?
Oh, no. That was just a subliminal thought. Someday, maybe, I would like to have a radio show. It was just something I put into the universe. I never did a thing about it. I never thought about it. Went back to Los Angeles. Then I kind of had my books, and I was asked to do a show with BigMedia.com. I did that for a year. Then I went on to work with Voice America, and I worked with them for, I think, 2 years. So I was really happy doing my little radio show thing. Then we kind of were getting ready to retire, and I thought, well, been there, done that. I don't need to do that anymore. And, you know, talk show hosting is like the mafia. You think you've left, and they pull you back in. So I'm back now, and I've had this amazing experience with Blog Talk Radio.
Wow. Not only that, but as the owner-manager of the Thousand Oaks Racquet Club, you've got a little bit of experience in golf. I'd like to hear about that.
Well,
what you do in California there.
Yeah, we had the Thousand Oaks Racquet Club for 20 years, and I was the owner/manager, and that was a 24/7 operation. We had an amazing experience. We're very blessed to have had this opportunity. It became like our extended family, wonderful people. We had tennis courts, a swimming pool, fitness center, reception area. People would have weddings, funerals, you name it, we had it at the club. So for 20 years, I was very much a people person, working with people, loving it. It was just something I really enjoyed doing.
Wow. I want to skip back a little bit to the Jackie book. What inspired you? What was the source material for the book?
Well, you know, I was raised in that generation. I was 20 years old when JFK was assassinated. I remember it like we all do. Anyone who was alive then remembers it. It was a defining moment in time for our generation. I was fascinated with Jacqueline Kennedy, as we all were. She was just the most extraordinary, wonderful, amazing first lady in the history of this country. Then when I became a widow, I really went over the top as far as identifying with her, because I now was a widow with two small children. I'd walked behind a flag-draped coffin, so I felt this connection with her.
Wow.
I read everything written about her, and I really was a Jackie fan. I just consumed it all. I then had this enormous library of books about her that I loved reading and following her career. Then at one point, I was reading one of the books that had been written about her, and in the book it stated that it was factually proven that Aristotle Onassis was in the White House at JFK's funeral in 1963, and that just like a red light went off for me. What in the world was Aristotle Onassis doing as a guest in the White House, invited by Jacqueline Kennedy? Now, I started doing history and reading about it. Turns out that JFK couldn't stand Onassis, and he had actually forbidden him to even enter the country. So we now have one man in a coffin in the East Room and another man who's his enemy in the guest room. Turns out that Jacqueline had been on a cruise with Onassis 30 to 60 days before the assassination. She had gone on a cruise in the Aegean Sea, in the Mediterranean, and she had had this romantic interlude with Aristotle Onassis that the American public did not know about.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
did you have...
I know.
Oh, my gosh. My mind is blown.
Yeah, that
in the book,
was pretty much...
Did you draw any ideas or theories about the assassination? Did Aristotle have anything to do with it?
Yeah, well, you know, here we are 50 years later, and everyone's still asking who killed Kennedy. So, of course,
mm-hmm.
you know, being a woman, I jumped all over it, and I did research, and my books are documented. My bibliographies have never been refuted. I did all of my homework. I was a history major in college. I loved doing bibliographies and research. That was my thing. So I applied myself to this research, and then I published my book, Oh No, Jackie O.
Wow, that is definitely a must-read for our readers. Oh, no, Jackie O.
Well, you know, the first book was Oh, No, Jackie O, and that's out of print. However, I think you can still get it at Amazon. Then I did over 500 radio and TV interviews on this topic because my theory is very controversial. It's one you probably have never heard before.
Never,
however,
never.
I will tell you that my theory will make more sense to you than anything you have ever heard in your entire life regarding the JFK assassination.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that delicious?
That's amazing. Amazing. So, and you went on 500 radio and TV interviews with this. This is amazing. Was this
mind-blowing? You know, I had people, and during those 500-some shows, I only had maybe one person or two possibly say, "You're insane, go away, you're a crazy lady." Everyone else said, "Oh, my gosh, how did you think of this?"
And it makes total sense because he has that kind of power.
Yeah. Yeah, Aristotle Onassis at that time had the money, means, and he had the motive to commit the perfect crime of the last century. I've even done interviews with people like George Norrie, and he actually invites me back every year on the anniversary of the assassination to kick my theory around because my theory makes more sense than anything else you've ever heard.
It absolutely does, yes.
Yeah, yeah. He fell in love with Jacqueline Kennedy, and I can imagine they were on his, she was on his ship, and it was a romantic interlude. They were the only two unaccompanied by a spouse or significant other. And I can imagine he taking her up on the top of the ship and saying, "Jacqueline, I adore you, I worship you, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you. Now let me ask you a question. If your husband were out of the picture, would I have a chance?" Well, you know, then the American public didn't know it, but then Jacqueline was a very unhappy wife.
Well, yeah,
she was married to a man who still thought he was a bachelor.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm sure she would have said to Onassis, "If that would happen, I certainly would consider you." Well, need she say more? Within 5 years, she was married to Aristotle Onassis. Prior to the assassination, she had no money whatsoever. All JFK left her was $25,000 in interest from a trust fund. She married Onassis. It was the first time in her life she had money. He gave her $5 million on her wedding day, and she went on to become a black belt shopper. All of the women in the world. We all just admired her. She was out there shopping every chance she got. She was fabulous.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Tell me more about what you do with your radio show and how long it took for you to become a featured host.
You know, I would say it took over a year to become a featured host. I started off, I did one show a week, then I kind of moved up to two, and then I kind of got to three. I kind of got a feel for the territory. I was lucky to invite some wonderful people on the show, people who had success stories, and we were talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and I really stress, you know, you've been on my show, Andrea.
Yeah, the good, the bad, the ugly.
You've been on many times, and you've had tremendous ratings. Lots of listeners love listening to your story, because people want to hear about the struggles. They want to hear what you have to do to overcome things. They want to hear how you become successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that little niche where I kind of fit in. I'm very interested in people, and it kind of flowed. All of a sudden, I was doing more and more shows. The interviews were getting more and more creative, more interesting. I just found my little place in this world of internet radio.
Well, you're absolutely brilliant with interviewing. You just put your listener, your interviewee at peace, and it's so comfortable and fun to be with you and talk with you. And before you know it, you're just sharing everything. But it's such a warm, comfortable place that you create for your host, guest.
Yeah, I feel like I've found this little niche in the world, and I thought I had come out to retire. I thought I was going to eat bonbons and chocolate and play a little
golf.
Yeah,
we have to talk about chocolate, too.
Yeah, and put my feet up and do nothing. Then all of a sudden, I just started meeting these fabulous guests, people who have amazing stories to share. As a matter of fact, I haven't even announced it officially, but next in June I will be publishing a book, and it's called Priceless Personalities. And I have taken the top 10 interviews that I've had for the last 2 years, and I'm sharing them with my readers my listeners as an ebook. It'll be coming out at Amazon, and I have some of the most amazing, unforgettable people in the world who are sharing their success stories, and I'm going to be able to share those with everyone.
It's so important to be able to learn from each other. It really, really is. Now, you have to give me the lowdown, and everybody else. How did you create an alliance with Milton Hershey and all of the chocolate companies? I have to know.
But, you know, it was very, very interesting. Once you get going, it's like if you think it, you can do it, you know, my mantra. And
yes.
you have to ask the most amazing people in the world, because if you don't ask, you'll never know. And guess what? They usually say yes. I invited all of them to come on my show and to do interviews about their careers in the chocolate industry. I adore chocolate, most women do. So I kind of made it one of the minor themes of my career, interviewing chocolate experts. Guess what? All it is a phone call, and they will rise to the occasion and give you the most fabulous interviews ever.
Wow, that is absolutely fabulous.
I'm
curious, what's the best and the worst part of the job that you have? What do you love? What do you hate?
Oh, gosh. Well, I love waking up each day and meeting new people in my life who have fascinating, fabulous stories to share. I've always been curious about people. I've never been a nonfiction. I've never been a fiction reader. I've always been drawn to historical nonfiction. I think real life is stranger than fiction, and I think what people go through in their lives is there's just such amazing stories. So I've always been fascinated with other people's lives. So getting the opportunity to invite them on my show and hear their stories, their information, their inspiration, it's just the most amazing way to spend each day in your life. The worst thing, well, the worst thing is trying to schedule everything, trying to keep your schedule.
That would be a challenge, yes.
Yeah, yeah, because I do have a life. I do have a wonderful husband. I have 7 grandchildren. I will be I will be turning 70 this year. Isn't that, you know, an amazing
wow. Rock on, girl. I love it. I love it.
I know. Oh. I know. This is what 70 is like. My husband has arranged a cruise for our entire family. Our 7 grandchildren and our children, there'll be 17 of us, and we are going on a Disneyland cruise to celebrate my birthday. They all call me Mormor. We're Norwegian, so in Norway, Bestemor is your grandmother, so I've been called Mormor. So that's something I'm looking forward to. Scheduling is difficult, finding the time. I love my job because I do it in my pajamas.
I love it. Well, you must have a fabulous team.
You know, I do have a virtual assistant, and I'm a very A-type organized person, so I kind of figure out the template and follow through with it, just as what's happening with my next book. If you put it out there, the universe will respond and people will cross your path who can help you and get things going. All you need to do is just put it out there. I think that's something you learn after many, many years. I think young people are afraid to do that. But when you get older, guess what? You've got nothing to lose.
I think so, too. What is some really, really inspirational stories from your interviews?
Well, the 10 people that I have invited to be the priceless personalities in my new series of books, and we're coming out with volume 1. And when I say priceless, I refer to that wonderful, fuzzy, warm American Express commercial where, you know, they do all these great things and then they just end the commercial with priceless. Well, over the last 2 years, I've had more than 200, I can't even begin to tell you how many interviews, and some of them, guess what, you can't walk away from them. Some of these interviews just get you. They stay with you. The show's over, you post it, you social network, you do everything you're supposed to do with it, and guess what, you keep thinking about those interviews.
Yes.
So that's what my new book is going to be based on. I've invited 10 of the most unforgettable interviews that I've had. And actually, it's amazing. Volume number 1 is going to the editing, and it'll be out in June. And I'm already hard at work on volume number 2 because there are so many amazing stories that I've been fortunate enough and blessed enough to share with my listeners. An example would be Jeannie Kerrigan, who has, I believe she now, Andrea, is starting to do her own radio show, too, just like you at Blog Talk Radio. And Jeannie shares her story about being an incest survivor who went through terrible molestation. She was a runaway. She was out on the streets. She got into prostitution, drugs, you name it. She had all these terrible things in her life, and she was just a baby when this all happened. She was just a small child when she was first molested by her father, unfortunately. She now has gone on to create an organization called Ricky'sRevolution.org, and she helps runaway kids who are out there on the streets, and her organization reaches out to them. She created a little bear, and it's called Ricky, who was her little bear that she had when she was a child. And on this bear, they have embroidered phone numbers with numbers that you can call if you're out on the streets so you can get help so that people will come and rescue you. She has only been doing this for a year, and she's given out 10,000 of these little bears for Ricky's Revolution. Now, isn't that an amazing story?
That story, yes, that really, really touches me. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it's all about, meeting people like that. They really take your breath away,
yes.
With their resilience and their ingenuity.
How did you connect with the Entertainment Network? That was a huge leap for you.
Yes, it was. Well, actually, I had met at a seminar, you know, and I encourage everyone to go to seminars and classes, do whatever you can to learn, meet, network. And at one of the seminars I had attended back in Philadelphia, I met a gal named Joni Aldridge. She is a cancer advocate. She lost her husband to cancer. And then it was a two-year illness where she took care of him. She then started writing books for people who are in that experience. She started writing the books that you'd want to give to people, the books you would like to have when it happens to you. So that became her mission. She then went to work with W4WM, that's the Women's Entertainment Women's Network, and she now does 5 shows a week, and it's all about cancer support. It became her passion, her mission. She approached me and said, you know, January, I think you'd fit in wonderful with this group, and I looked into it, and I'm now doing it. It's my, I started just this month, May 1st. So I've only done about 5 or 6 shows, but I love doing it. It's live. And then it gets replayed throughout the week at that network.
Oh, that's fabulous. January, tell us more about your work as a cruise ship speaker.
Yeah.
That sounds like the coolest thing in the world. Get paid to vacation.
Yes. Well, you know, I did that kind of... On a lark, you know, just, you know, it was one of those things like, let's see if I can do this. And guess what? You can do anything you think. I applied, and I was basically going to do speeches about how to write a book, how to do internet marketing. I was going to share my self-publishing, my getting a New York publisher. I was going to go and be an informational speaker on the cruise ships. Well, then the recession happened, and the cruise ships cut back their budgets, and all they wanted were destination speakers. So I then had to reinvent myself as a destination speaker. So I did a wonderful cruise with Norwegian Cruise Lines to Alaska. I did all my research. I had a PowerPoint presentation. We loved it. My husband and I were welcomed on the ship. We were included as part of the crew. I spoke, I think 4 different times, and my favorite speech that I gave was when we were going to Skagway, and it was called Women of the Gold Rush, the Gold Rush Women.
I spoke all about
the women in Alaska who were there during the Gold Rush and how they made fortunes doing laundry and cooking for all the men.
Wow. So So a destination speaker is a speaker who speaks on a topic that is specific to the area where the cruise is going to be taking place?
Yeah, I had to choose a topic for each city that we were going into, and I gave the speech before we went into port. So I talked about glaciers. I talked about a lot of the natural things, the environment. I talked about the Gold Rush women. I kind of made it fun, and it was a very interesting experience. We had the best time, but guess what? I found out that it's not my passion.
Really?
Yeah, getting up in front of people and doing speeches, it's fun. I can do it. I enjoyed it, but it's not something I'd want to do every day. That was a wonderful thing.
You're not in your jammies.
Yeah, I'm not in my jammies. You know, it's kind of like, I can do that, but I guess I don't need to do that anymore.
Wow. So what... I have to hear, what was it like when you finally reached the 1 million listeners mark? I can't even imagine how exciting that was.
It blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. All of a sudden, a year ago, August, I was just going along and getting maybe 200-300 listeners at the most, thinking that was wonderful. I remember telling one of my sponsors, my goal for the year was to get 1,200 listeners. And that was true. I would have been totally happy with that. All of a sudden, I got to August, and the show went to 20,000, and then we just started climbing, and then by the time we got to December, we were at 400,000 listeners for that month. And then we were on our way to 1 million, and it was very, very exciting.
Aside of speaking the goal, did you actually write down the goal that you were looking for X listeners?
Oh,
after
no,
you
no.
Passed
I,
that,
yeah,
after
I,
you
I
passed
never
that
wrote
point.
It down. Yeah, I did speak it, and then all of a sudden I started looking at the numbers, and I was thinking that would be very, very exciting. I became very active at submitting my shows for feature. You know, and I think so many people who host radio shows ignore that part of the business, and you have to submit these individuals. You have to write them up. You have to be excited about them. If you're not excited about them, no one else will be excited about them. So I kind of created a niche where I really, if I'm having someone on my show and I want to feature them, I really have to write about them from my heart and submit that to the staff. And usually, if they're worthy enough, they can become a staff pick. And then the numbers are amazing, because when you're a staff pick, your show is out front for 24 hours.
Yes, yes. I know that as one of your guests, whenever you would share with me, hey, we made the front page, I got so excited. And then I mm-hmm. shared it with all of my social networks. And
exactly.
So it just creates this tremendous momentum
it's
of people
deal.
Wanting to learn more.
Yeah, it's a very big deal. It was interesting when I first started doing it, they didn't have as many staff picks as they have now. And you could actually see the show getting posted and coming up at the East Coast. And you could see as the time clock went around through the country and over to Asia, whatever, the numbers would just keep growing, growing. One of my top shows, we had 110,000 listeners in a 24-hour period, which was very, very
wow.
exciting.
Wow.
Yeah,
you and I share
lot.
Something. Yes. You and I share something in common, and it's passion. Why do you think
yes.
that's the key to success?
Well, you know, passion is the key to success, because when you find something that you are passionate about, guess what? It's no longer work. It is mm-hmm. something that you enjoy doing. It's something you don't even care if you get paid for it. It's something
mm-hmm.
you want to do. You want to share with other people. It's something, guess what? You get better at better and better at doing it each day because you're passionate about it. It gets the adrenaline going. It's the reason for waking up. A lot of times when I have a great show coming up, I will find myself waking up early, early in the day in anticipation of what's to come. And that's very exciting, especially at my age in life.
I am just so honored that you're here. And this is mind-blowing. I have to share this with the listeners. Right after this point, at 9 p.m., you're going to be leading, you're going to be hosting your own January Jones Sharing Success Story. So I can't tell you what a trooper you are for being willing to do this. And I want to honor your time, and I want to let you go in just a couple minutes. But what wonderful words of wisdom do you have to share with our listeners?
Well, you know, that's such a great question. And actually, it's the question I usually end my shows with. I usually ask my guests what advice they have. And one of my guests that I had on my show this week, his advice just blew me away. His advice was to everyone out there, listen, listen, listen. That just stopped me in my tracks because I think everyone is so busy thinking about what they're going to say next themselves that they forget to listen, listen, listen. And I think that's my advice that I would give all of your listeners.
Well, thank you. I'm so grateful that you've been here with us and shared with us. And what an amazing, amazing career that you've created, and more opportunities for more empowerment. And I'm just blown away. Last thing, what is the name of the book that you have coming up again? And please tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you.
It'll be out in June, and it's going to be entitled Priceless Personalities. It's a part of a series, Volume 1. I have 10 of the most fabulous, unforgettable people that you will ever meet in your entire life. I will be sharing their interviews, their stories, their struggles, and the advice they have for all of us. I'm very, very excited about this project, and Volume 2 is on the drawing board, ready to go. So it's going to be a wonderful thing to share with everyone.
And how can the listeners stay in touch with you, follow you, keep up with you, find out what's going on?
Well, my website is www.januaryjones.com. If you go to my website and sign on, you can get a free download of a book I wrote called The Onassis Odyssey, and it's a very delicious, dishy book about what life was like on the cruise ship, the Christina. That was the ship that Onassis owned during his life and during his courtship and marriage to Jacqueline Kennedy. So that's a free download, and if you sign on to my website, you will be on my list, and when I get my act together, you'll even get an e-zine.
January Jones, thank you so much for being an amazing guest and an amazing person. Thank you.
It's been fun, Andrea, and I am very, very proud of you, dear.
Thank you so much. I'm honored. Okay, we've just gotten a chance to speak with January Jones. Amazing, amazing person. You have to listen to this interview again, because if you're stuck, if you're feeling frustrated and anxious and hating the way things are in your life, you don't have to be in that place. Yes, just like January said, have your pity party. Have a pity party for as long as you need to. But know that at the other end, once you get through that tunnel, there is a beautiful, bright, bright future waiting for you. And that's why I'm here for you every week, to share with you and to teach you, give you the value of what I have learned from going through my own tunnel and dealing with my own struggles and moving past those places where I've had those pity parties. And believe me, I'm not past pity parties. I still have my pity parties. I still get really frustrated and anxious and you know, get stuck in that place. As I had shared with you before, one of the things that I find tremendously effective is the emotional freedom technique. That's the go-to. That's the technique that I love to teach. And you can learn more about that by going to my site, thejuicywoman.com. And you can find out by getting an excerpt of the chapter, first couple chapters of my book called Love in the Skin You're In, The Juicy Woman's Guide to Making Peace with Food and Friends with Your Body. And as I have shared with you many times, my particular struggle has been around feeling unacceptable and insecure because, hey, God made me curvy. I'm a big girl. I'm chubby, fat, whatever word it is that you choose to put on it, it doesn't matter. What I have learned is that this is me now. Just as you are, I want you to think about your body as a snapshot. It's not a permanent thing because our bodies are always going through transitions and changes. And in the same way that you no longer have the same body that you had when you were a toddler, you will not have the same body that you have today in a year from now or 5 years from now. There will be changes. Maybe there will be wrinkles. Maybe there will be cellulite. Maybe you will lose weight. Maybe you will gain weight. Whatever it is that goes on and occurs in your life is written on your body. And I'm here as a passionate body acceptance advocate to inspire you and to encourage you and to teach you how to love your body through every one of those ages and stages. Because as women, we tend to get so caught up and we tend to think that our value rests on the size of our thighs and that we can measure our beauty by looking at the label on the back of our clothes. Ah, nonsense! I have to tell you, I'm going to shake you and tell you it doesn't work like that. And I'm passionate about this because of the fact that I struggled for so many years, letting the wool be pulled over my eyes, thinking that something was wrong with me because I was too fat. And because I was too fat, I was unacceptable and not good enough and not pretty enough. And I wasted so many years. And my intention is to share with you what I have learned about the essential nature of acceptance. Because it translates to power. When you let go of the hurting, when you let go of feeling like you're not good enough, that something's wrong with you, just like January has shown us today in sharing her story, when you let go of that sense of being a victim for whatever reason it is, because there are so many situations in life over which you will have no control whatsoever. But when you start changing the way that you respond to your situation and moving beyond it, that's when you have some real power. I'm really excited to have this opportunity to share with you my thoughts and my views on weight and body image and creating this whole momentum of finding for you role models of other successful people, people who have taken their life and molded it in a way that they have been able to overcome their difficulties. Not only been able to overcome their difficulties, but it's because of their difficulties that they have become the powerhouses that they are. I really want you to start to think and to spend time asking yourself, what is it that may be sabotaging your happiness? How is it that you might be withholding the love that you need from yourself? I want you to pay attention and be the observer in your life. This week, pay close attention and see where are the places where you're giving away your power. Are you whining about something that you actually could change your perspective on that will help you to overcome that stuck place? Now again, you know, there is a reason for the pity party, and that's important. But it's also important to realize where you're leaking your power. Find out those places in your life where you're getting stuck in those ruts over and over again. You're finding those places where you get frustrated, and then you get into this unresourceful place, and you can't think straight, and you start yelling at people around you, and, oh, I don't even need to tell you. You know all about it. I would love to talk with you and stay in touch with you. Please follow me on Twitter at The Juicy Woman. And I will be, I'm very excited that I'm going to be co-presenting a seminar with a colleague of mine at my church. It's the United Church of Spring Valley. And it's a women's forum on forgiveness. It's Saturday, June 15th. And it will run from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you have heard me say before that forgiveness is a gift you give yourself. And I really, really would love it if you could come. You know, most of us know that somehow forgiveness is a good thing for our lives. But because we define it as letting someone off the hook, we often struggle with actually being able to forgive. And what I'll be teaching along with Dr. Carrie Jackson is to give you the opportunity to explore what forgiveness really is and how to forgive in ways that help you experience greater freedom, power, and love in your life. I'm going to encourage you, and of course, if you can't make it for the seminar, I'll continue through this radio show. I'm going to continue to encourage you to break the cycle of self-hurting and begin the healing of self-loving. That's what this radio show is all about, loving the skin you're in. It is my honor to serve you. I love you from the bottom of my heart. Okay, have an awesome, awesome week. Bye, Juicy Woman.